Welcome to the Poster Child for Grace podcast. My name is Philip Hartman, and I'm going to share some of my favorite Christian quotes with you. So I think there's always something to learn from, you know, wise people in the past. The first quote that I want to share is from Oswald Chambers. A saint's life is in the hands of God as a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see. He stretches and strains, and every now and again the saint says, "I cannot stand any more." But God does not heed. He goes on stretching until his purpose is in sight. Then he lets fly. We are here for God's designs, not for our own. And I just think that one's really great, and I've recently had a lot to think about in terms of trusting God and to, you know, leave my comfort zone and, you know, maybe do things, take some chances. Just felt like that's what I was supposed to do. The next quotation is from Cavett Roberts. If we study the lives of great men and women carefully and unemotionally, we find that, inevitably, greatness was developed, tested, and revealed through the darker periods of their lives. One of the largest tributaries of the river of greatness is always the stream of adversity. I think that one's really good in terms of, you know, the Bible tells us that there will be trials and tribulations. And in John 15, it tells us that if we are bearing fruit for God, that God will prune us so that we can bear even more fruit. And, you know, pruning's painful. Let me look for a couple of others here. This is an oldie but a goodie from John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And this is one I really like. Is credited to Harry Emerson Fosdick. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are made of the same water. It flows down clear and cool from the heights of Hermon and the roots of the cedars of Lebanon. The Sea of Galilee makes beauty of it, for the Sea of Galilee has an outlet. It gets to give. It gathers in its riches that pour them out, that it pours them out again to fertilize the Jordan Plain. But the Dead Sea, with the same water, makes horror, for the Dead Sea has no outlet. It gets to keep. So I think that one's really, you know, something we all got to think about. You know, are we giving more than we're receiving? Here's an interesting one from William Penn from the American Revolution. Disappointments that come not by our own fault, they are the trials and corrections of heaven. And it is our own fault if they prove not to our advantage. How's that for a biblical view of pruning? Along the same lines, this one is credited to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I owe more to the fire and the hammer and the file than to anything else in my Lord's workshop. I sometimes question whether I have ever learned anything except through the rod. When my schoolroom is darkened, I see most. So, you know, that's more of the same kind of thing. Here's kind of an interesting one by Howard Macy. The spiritual life cannot be made suburban. It is always frontier, and we who live in it must accept and even rejoice that it remains untamed. And I think this, again, kind of challenges us, you know, when we're maybe too comfortable, you know, are we taking enough chances for God? Here's one by Philip Yancey. How would telling people to be nice to one another get a man crucified? What government would execute Mr. Rogers or Captain Kangaroo? Have to think about that one a little bit. This one is credited to C.S. Lewis. Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. Here's a really good one. This one is from William Gurnall, I think I'm pronouncing that right. As part of Christ's army, you march in the ranks of gallant spirits. Every one of your fellow soldiers is the child of a king. Some, like you, are in the midst of battle, besieged on every side by affliction and temptation. Others, after many assaults, repulses, and rallying of their faith, are already standing upon the wall of heaven as conquerors. From there they look down and urge you, their comrades on earth, to march up the hill after them. This is their cry, fight to the death, and the city is your own, and now it is ours. So I think that one's kind of, again, you know, when was the last time you took a chance for God? Here's another one from Oswald Chambers. Obey God in the things he show you, and instantly the next thing is opened up. God will never reveal more truth about himself until you have obeyed what you already know, or know already. This chapter brings the delight of real friendship with God. And, you know, that one kind of sticks it to you just a little bit, in that, you know, frequently we want to know the final outcome. You know, when we think God's leading us down a direction, we want to know, you know, whether we're going to like the outcome, and, you know, if maybe we're going to try to weasel out of it. But it seems like more often than not, God is asking, do you trust me to start down this path, not knowing where it's going? And I think that's probably the goal where we need to be. Here is something. This is a quote from Charles Swindoll out of his book, The Mystery of God's Will. And he's actually quoting someone he knew. It says, my mentor, the late Ray Stedman, had a helpful description of this. I can still remember his talking about moving from earth to heaven. We move from the very restricted and limited realm to this massive panorama of the whole scene, and it will be good. It all will have worked together for good, including the tragedies and the calamities and the heartaches, the illnesses and diseases and what we call premature deaths, the terrible deformities and birth defects and congenital illnesses. All will unfold, and we will know that God's plan was right, but not until then. Here's one I like. This one is from Elizabeth Elliot, from the book Keep a Quiet Heart. Today is mine. Tomorrow is none of my business. If I peer anxiously into the fog of the future, I will strain my spiritual eyes, so that I will not see clearly what is required of me now. I just love that one. So I think I'll quit here, but I hope you've got something out of this, and I hope that you'll let me know if you've downloaded this and are getting something out of this podcast. Again, my name is Phil Hartman. You can reach me at my email through my blog, which is posterchildforgrace.blogspot.com. And in that case, the four is F-O-R, posterchildforgrace.blogspot.com. Or you can reach me through my podcast, which is posterchildforgrace.podomatic.com, and in that case the 4 is the numeral 4, posterchildforgrace.podomatic.com. Or you can shoot me an email. I can be reached at gvillearchitect@comcast.net, and that's gvillearchitect, gvillearchitect@comcast.net. And I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.